Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Lake Orion, Michigan, and earned a BA and an MBA in accounting from Michigan State University. From 1994 to 1999, he was the VP for Credit Acceptance. From 2007 to 2017, he was the COO of Auto Credit Express. And from 2018 to 2021, he was CEO, President, and COO of the Detroit Trading Company. In 2021, at age 53, he said, "I came to the end of myself." His name, Jack Lintel. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Jack Lintel. Jack, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate you having me on.
Can we start by you offering an opening prayer for us?
Sure can. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Jesus, please bring fruit from our conversations here, and hopefully we can touch at least one listener and bring light to your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you. Let's go back. Your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
Well, I grew up in Lake Orion, and my dad passed away when I was four, almost five. And so I didn't really know him. Any memories, I'm not sure if they're just that, memories, or if they're actual happenings. But from what I understand, he was a wonderful man, very faithful. My mother was a saint. She had four boys, John, Jim, Joe, and Jack. So I responded to just about anything. And she was a beautiful lady who lived to 87, almost 88, and then she passed in 2015. But you know, we were, as she liked to say, we were attached at the hip. So, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, but, you know, there's a lot of love.
What's the biggest thing she taught you, Jack?
I think integrity, honesty and integrity was something that I recall early on. She says, "I can handle anything, just don't lie to me." And so, you know, it didn't mean that I had free rein to do whatever I wanted, But I don't recall a time ever not telling her what happened. And there were repercussions, believe me, in some cases. But she taught me that aspect early on.
All right. You went to MSU to get an accounting degree. Why accounting?
Well, it's a good question. I had some accounting classes in high school. There was my golf coach was the accounting teacher, Gary Newcomb. And it just resonated with me. I was pretty good at it. And I liked the aspect of understanding, you know, business from that standpoint. And I would say, you know, it was a good decision because it really gave me the best training ground I possibly could have going into public accounting and getting exposure to a bunch of different businesses and understanding them, you know, not only from the financial standpoint, but I was able to understand them from the operational standpoint as well.
You mentioned a scholarship. You were actually an Evans Scholar, and you were one of only 200 full academic scholars nationwide that year. Let's talk about Evans Scholars and start with Chick Evans. Who was he?
So Chick Evans was, I never met him, unfortunately, but he'd passed by the time I was an Evans Scholar. But he was a leading amateur golfer back in the 1910s and 20s. He won the Western Open, the U.S. Open, and the U.S. Amateur. In fact, he had 54 victories. It didn't turn pro, and so, you know, he's very well known. And in 1922, he recorded a bunch of golf instructions, on, believe it or not, on records. You know, and then all the proceeds were placed in trust so that deserving caddies could earn college scholarships. So if you fast forward that today, we've got about 1,130 young women and men living communally at 24 different universities across the country. We've got over 12,000 Evans Scholar alumni, and this is probably the most impressive aspect of it. The graduation rate's 98%. So I still serve as a director and am heavily involved in the program, but was blessed to go to Michigan State on that Evans Scholarship.
Chick Evans, listen to this, competed in a record 50 consecutive U.S. amateurs.
Yeah.
A lot of pros say it's the hardest tournament to ever win a U.S. amateur. Why so, Jack?
Well, that's a good question. You know more about golf than I do, and I know you can play better than I do. But, I mean, you have, you know, if you think about today, I think there's an amateur tournament at Oakland Hills coming up. The competition's intense, and I think it was, you know, intense back then, especially in those days. But to play in 50, that's pretty incredible. I mean, you think about the range of age. I don't know what his first one was, but I'm guessing he was, you know, late teens. You know, so he played when he was in his 60s. So that's pretty incredible.
What are the criteria for a caddy to be eligible to be given a Chick Evans scholarship?
So there's really four criteria. Criteria one is you have to have financial need. And so, you know, because of my situation, I had that. You have to have good grades. I'm not sure that I could get into the Evans Scholarship today with the grades I had back then, but they were good enough back then. You have to have great character. And then lastly, you have to have a large number of loops or rounds at a golf course caddying. So I caddied at Indian Wood Golf and Country Club. Mm-hmm. Actually, I started there in 1981, and it was really, it changed my life, both from the fact that I earned a scholarship, but I didn't even know the scholarship was available. But caddying in and of itself changed my life, and the experience that I got with that and the people that I was able to interact with really changed my life, some of whom I'm still close with today.
All right. We're talking to Jack Lintel, and I'm Jack Rasula. And when we come back, we're going to talk to him about his chapter of his life at Credit Acceptance. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Jack Lintel. And from 1994 to 1999, he was the VP for Credit Acceptance. And I think you worked in England.
I sure did, yeah. I was in public accounting before that. And the partner, Rich Beckman, who hired me at Arthur Andersen, went to be the president at Credit Acceptance. And called me one day and said, hey, let's go out and play golf. I want to talk to you about something. And next thing you know, he's saying, I want you to go over to the UK and start a finance company. And my immediate response was no. I said, look, you know, you're the one that told me I was going to be a partner and make partner. And I was on track and I think doing pretty well at Arthur Andersen and enjoying myself. Well, after about a month of no's, I ended up meeting the chairman, Don Foss, who was one of the largest used car dealers at the time, and for some reason I signed right there and then. And so it was really one of the pivotal points of my life and changed my life in many ways. And so it was, you know, I look back on the experience fondly, and so I was over there for a couple of years.
All right, let's go back to February 1995. You're 26, you're working in Worthing, England. Describe your life back then, Jack.
Jack, how'd you find out all these things about me? So I was working extremely hard. As you can imagine, I'm in a different country. We're trying to set up a whole brand new company and figure everything out. And so I was working, you know, 6 days a week. I wasn't working seven, only because I basically couldn't get out of bed on the seventh. I was so tired. But working a lot of hours. And you know, I was there by myself. I was single at the time, you know, and I think the people were a little suspicious of me to start out with before I was able to earn their trust and respect. And, you know, prior to that, when I was in the U.S., I kind of, you know, was doing pretty well and thought a lot of myself. You know, February 1995 finally just kind of hit me that I had taken everybody and everything for granted. And, you know, I couldn't do it on my own anymore. And so that's the time when I went back to church. So I found a small little Catholic church very close to me. And there, I think it was a 6:30 mass. And I remember walking in, and it was myself and about 10 or 15, you know, 90-year-old women and the priest. And so that was, you know, I've always believed my whole life. But I would say, you know, really didn't take my relationship with Jesus as seriously up until that point in time because of what I was facing.
All right. From 2000 to 2002, you were with Nagel Precision in Ann Arbor, the CFO. that chapter, please.
Yeah, it was a good time. I was able to kind of work part-time as a CFO, and because my daughter was born in 2000, and my wife was a VP and controller of $1.5 billion cement manufacturer. So she had a big job as well. And so we just kind of decided that at least one of us should work part-time. And so that it worked out really well. It was on the supply side of the automotive business, which, you know, is a tough business, as everybody in Detroit knows. And it really wasn't necessarily my cup of tea. And it was a former client of mine. And so I knew them extremely well and kind of what the needs were. And that's part of the reason that, you know, we allowed the flexibility. So.
All right, 2002 to 2005, COO of Car.com.
Yeah, it was a great experience. It was kind of the first time that I was able to kind of go in and run a company. And, you know, I learned a tremendous amount in that period of time. I really started to adopt some of the practices or theories, I guess, of some management gurus like Pat Lencioni and Jim Collins and Vern Harnish. And there was a fellow by the name of Chris Edwards, who was our kind of a executive coach as well as a facilitator. And he taught me a tremendous amount. And so it was really the foundation of I'll call it an operating process that I've adopted and used really in everything that I do, whether it's, you know, volunteer work, board work, or, you know, or running companies.
All right. 2005 to 2007, Power One Media, CEO and board member.
That company was a mess. The chairman, his name's Mark Green, still alive, wonderful man, had cold called me after we ended up selling Car.com to a company called AutoByTel. And I didn't have an agreement or anything, but I felt strongly that I needed to stick around to help make sure the transition happened and that all of our people were taken care of. And so he and I stayed in touch. And, you know, this company was owned by a bunch of newspaper companies, which, you know, you can imagine back in that time frame in 2005, there was a lot of pressure, a lot of changes happening with, you know, with digital marketing, the internet, et cetera. And we ran all of the recruitment and automotive digital platforms for a large number of newspapers like Hearst, Advance, Scripps, Media News Group, et cetera. And we had a network larger than Career Builder at the time, and the auto piece was a lot smaller. And so we developed a new strategy. We ended up negotiating with Monster.com and Yahoo Hot Jobs coinciding each other, because we needed them as our national strategy, and we had the regional and local strategy covered with all the different properties. So we ended up doing a deal with Yahoo Hot Jobs and ended up selling all the recruitment assets to Yahoo.
You got in this whole internet kind of in the infancy. As you look back 25 years, what's amazed you the most about this internet?
Well, it's changed a lot, but it hasn't changed at all. And so I think, you know, really, I think the first go-bouts were in the, you know, late or mid-90s, 1995, 1996. But I, you know, my biggest experience is in the car business. And so, you know, there's been a tremendous amount of technology change, but there's been a lot that still remains the same. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things changing, whether it be everybody likes to use the buzzword AI. You know, I don't think many people really understand the totality of AI and what it can do, nor do I. But you know, I think there's a lot of things and a lot of ingenuity that's going to happen out of AI, large learning models, and really the use of data to better serve, you know, consumers.
All right. From 2007 to 2017, you were the COO of Auto Credit Express.
So we help people that had either no credit or bad credit. And so really the only place that people can get a car loan that are in that situation are car dealers. And of course, you know, there's varying experiences that people are going to get, and there's varying availability that different car dealers have. And so the main thing that we did there was just try to understand the consumer situation, educate them on, you know, everything they needed to know going into not only the purchase of a vehicle, but also the taking on of a car loan. And then we were able to assess dealers and their capabilities of really treating the customer right, making sure the customer was taken care of, making sure it's, you know, it's the right vehicle and the right loan for the customer. And we improved pretty dramatically the success rate of the consumers by what I call matching the right consumer to the right dealer that has the capability and has the reputation to really help these consumers out.
2019-2021 Detroit Trading Company, CEO, President, COO.
Yeah, it's a great company, and I think a lot of changes happened prior to me getting there, but also while I was there, focused on data and really driving results. And so we were a very large generator and aggregator of automotive traffic, and we sold mostly to OEMs and other large partners and not directly to dealers. And so we were able to hone what I would call a large learning model that allowed it to allowed us to basically predict results for, you know, any one of the OEMs here in town or on the coasts, and predict what the close rate was going to be on these consumers and on these leads. And so, you know, there was a tremendous amount of investment in technology that allowed us to really, you know, move the results forward for our customers and partners.
We're talking to Jack Lintel. Since 2017, he's been the founder and principal of JM Lintel Consulting. When we come back, we're going to ask him about that chapter. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Priscilla, with Jack Lintel, the founder, principal of JM Lintel Consulting. Please, Jack.
Yeah, and that's just a an LLC, I guess, that I end up doing some consulting work. But I think if you look at that, it encompasses really two things: consulting work, mostly for, you know, I would call it friends and family, but also a lot of volunteer work. You know, after I finished working at Detroit Trading, you know, the Ukraine war happened in late February of 2022, and we were, and many people don't know that there's 65,000 Ukrainians living in southeastern Michigan, and friends of ours are Ukrainian, and my wife and I got involved in not only collecting but packing up a large amount of goods for Ukrainian refugees as well as people on the war front. So I kind of had the itch, and then I decided I wanted to go and volunteer and help refugees out. And I ended up getting connected with St. Clair Montefalco in Grosse Pointe Park, Father Andrew Kowalczyk. And long story short, I ended up going on one of the second mission trips that they had. And we helped out thousands of refugees not only find, you know, temporary housing right across the border in Poland, but also help them plan on where they were going to go next. And so we ended up bringing the priest that was running it over there back. We raised a bunch of money here in southeastern Michigan. And toward the end of the year, I took another trip. So, you know, that was a kind of, I'll call it a full-time volunteer responsibility from, let's call it, March of 2022 all the way into January of 2023. And so, you know, the rest of it, I'm doing some consulting work for the Catholic Church here in Detroit. I do other volunteer work, but I also have a variety of clients in the automotive business and a few other not-for-profits as well.
We're talking to Jack Lintel. Let's go back to the spring of 2021. You're 53, and I quote you now, "I came to the end of myself."
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think I put it to you that way, but, you know, I hit a wall, and you know, I was trying to, like Matthew Kelly says, I was trying to fill a hole that was not fillable the way I was living my life. And, you know, it's not like, you know, I was wayward or doing anything crazy that I shouldn't have been doing. But, you know, I was living kind of, I would call it, independently, working hard, you know, taking care of my family, going to church, volunteering, giving money. But I was doing it independently and not dependently. And, you know, kind of more of a check in the boxes. And I think, you know, my independence comes from having lost my father at an early age. I kind of had to be independent. I had to start working, you know, at a pretty early age. And I was 9 when I started making some money. And it wasn't familiar with me to be dependent on on anybody. And so I think that hindered my ability to really be dependent on the Lord and surrender and trust him. So.
All right. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. You believe that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Now, that doesn't mean I live it every day. You know, if you think about the feeding of the 5,000 or the feeding of the 4,000, there's a lot of similarities in both those stories. And the main similarity is, bring me what you have. And they brought the loaves and the fishes. Bring me what you have and I'll do the rest. And I think he calls us to do that. And I think in this secular world, it's very difficult. You know, if you look at any of Jesus' teachings, they're countercultural to our culture. And so it really, you have to catch yourself almost minutely sometimes for me, but certainly hourly or daily, you know, if you're going to go about the world the way the world wants you to versus the way he wants you to. So it's a challenge. You know, I've tried to hand over the steering wheel to him, and, you know, I always like to take it back. So
if there's a listener tonight that says, I admire you, you truly trust God. Jack, I can't.
Yeah, I get it. I struggled my whole life not directly saying I can't trust you, Lord, but indirectly saying it through my actions. And, you know, I think you said it best, Jack, to me once. The people that I know that have entrusted their lives to the Lord, have surrendered their lives, are the most peaceful people on earth. And I think it's true. And when I am in that good spot and I am able to surrender everything to him and trust him, even in, you know, what would be classified as the worst times of my life, I've had peace. And I've actually been thankful for the suffering and the difficulties that I had because it prepared me for more.
All right, a listener says, Jack, I'm doing great right now. Great job, great social life. I bought all this tech stock in the last couple of years. My golf game is great. I'll reach out to God when I need him.
Well, it depends on whether I know him real well or not. Because if I know him real well, I'm going to call, you know what. But I would say, you know, take a look at your life, and are you really happy? Is this race that you're on, is this treadmill that you're on really happy? You know, are you trying to fill an unfillable hole? You can't get enough of what you don't need. It's another Matthew Kelly saying, you can't get enough of what you don't need. And I think many times we think, hey, if I get that new job, or hey, you know what, if I buy that new car, or if I get that new house, you know, or whatever, right, that is going to take the place of, you know, a true trust and surrender. It you know, might be great for a little while, but really reflect on that and take a look at that, and I think you'll find that you're not filling the hole.
All right. The late, great Dr. Charles Stanley, you know, In Touch Ministries, fabulous. He said, obey God and leave all the consequences to him. A listener says, Jack, with all due respect, I know what's best for me.
We think we do. Yeah, we think we do. And again, that's the secular aspect of our world. Because, you know, we praise independence. And there's an aspect to independence, right? I mean, you can't just sit in your lazy boy with your feet up and say, all right, Lord, take care of everything. I mean, he expects action. But I would call it directed action. And directed action in again, here, I'm going to bring all the talents, all the gifts, all the treasures, all the resources that you've blessed me with to fore, and you do the rest, Lord. Lead me and guide me and open myself up to that.
We're talking to Jack Linthal, and recently I heard him give a message about regular people finding Jesus. When we come back, we're going to ask him about that. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisullo.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
"My father loved to play with the pros at the club. He developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan."
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
"Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up."
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything.
Home. I'm Jack Crisullo. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Jack Lintel. And in 2021, at age 53, he said, quote, "I came to the end of myself." Let's review your lessons that you've learned these past 30 years. And it's a speech that you give, "Regular People Finding Jesus." And the first part you talk about is, what world are you in?
Yeah, I think the first, before I start that, I think we all put a lot of pressure on ourselves as it relates to the world, our life, etc. And at least for me, when I was trying to find Jesus in a deeper sense, I put a lot of pressure on myself. I had high expectations, and it didn't work. So, you know, over the last 3 years, what world am I in, right? And so I think Jesus would call us to be in this world, but not of this world, and be of His world. And so, you know, when we're of this world, you know, there's a culture, and the culture is, I'll call it a race, a rat race in many cases. But Jesus is countercultural. If you look at everything that Jesus taught, everything that He wanted you to do, like, for example, what we've been talking about, surrender, trust, be dependent on Him, you know, this world would say, hey, that's crazy. You know, you need to be independent. Don't trust anybody. Get what's yours. Being of this world causes us to, you know, compare ourselves. We end up comparing ourselves to other people instead of comparing ourselves to who we used to be and what we can be. Being of this world, we strive for and expect perfection. And, you know, if there's any suffering or any bumps in the road, you know, and we don't expect it, that can tip us over. And, you know, we've all run into situations where people, hey, everything's perfect, everything's great, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, if you were to peel back the onion, my guess is that's not the case. I've certainly portrayed that everything's perfect with me when it wasn't, plenty of times. People just want to show you that they're strong, that, you know, everything's going wonderfully, but in fact, it's not. So, you know, when you're of this world, you end up being remorseful when you're going through suffering instead of being thankful. I think I mentioned earlier that, you know, some of the worst times in my life, some of the most suffering, I'm the most thankful for. And so, you know, it's kind of the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, is really, you know, what sums it up for me.
All right. Section 2. Surrender.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, this world calls us to be, you know, independent and not dependent. And so, you know, Jesus calls us to be dependent on him. You know, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Trust me, surrender to me. And so, you know, when we're independent, we're relying on ourselves as opposed to, you know, relying on Jesus. You know, we're instead of being heartfelt and being, we're just worried, you know, headfelt and thinking. You know, independence leads to selfishness as opposed to selflessness. You know, we want to be first. We want to be served. Jesus called us, you know, to be first, you must be last. You know, he came to serve, not be served. So it's really, it's a big shift. And I struggle with this every day. I try to control everything. And I'm in control of nothing, really. And so it's really the peace comes when I can say, Lord, here's all the gifts, no matter what I'm facing. It was just on the phone with somebody coming down here who's basically, it was a miracle that his life was saved, and now he's back in the hospital. And we had, you know, a long talk about Jesus and surrendering to Jesus. And it's hard for people. It's hard for me.
Section 3, who do you compare yourself to?
Yeah, this is a good one. I mean, I think we all fall prey to comparing ourselves to others, in competition with others in the world, when in fact we should, because we have no control over that. We have no control of what other people do. We have no control over what their journey and walk in life has been. We have no control over how hard they work or, you know, how great their brain is. What we should be doing is comparing ourselves to our previous self. We have control over that. And so, you know, when we compare ourselves to others, it just leads, you know, to a bad place. Judgment. We start judging them. Jealousy of what they have and what we don't. Versus comparing yourself to your previous self, you know, self-improvement and becoming, as Matthew Kelly quoted, a best version of yourself. And so, you know, when you think about that, is how can I make myself better? How can I focus on becoming my better self as opposed to how I compare to others? You're just really gonna, you know, lead to a healthy life. I mean, this quote is probably the best quote I've seen on this by Ernest Hemingway. There's nothing noble in being superior to your fellow man. True nobility is being superior to your former self. And, you know, I think, you know, that's a great lesson that we can all take, and I know that one that resonates for me probably every day.
All right. Section 4, your relationship with Jesus.
This is a really good one. I would say, and I can't tell you how many years, but prior to the, let's call it the 53, when I turned 53, I was living for him, which, you know, I thought was pretty good. And when I say living for him, you know, I was doing what I thought he would want me to do. You know, I was praying and I was going to mass, and I was, you know, kind of almost like a to-do list, checking off the boxes. Okay, hey, I prayed today. Okay, hey, I went to mass today. Hey, I did a good thing, you know, in volunteering. And so I was doing the things that I thought he would want me to do. And I knew about him, but I would say now I try to focus on living from him. And when I say from him, really knowing him and allowing myself to be an instrument of his and be his hands, his eyes, his ears on this earth, and doing things from him, knowing him, and as opposed to when I was living for him, kind of self-guided good deeds, living from him now, kind of trying to bring, as I mentioned earlier, bring the blessings and gifts and talents that he's given me to bear and say, Lord, here it all is. I surrender it all to you. You know, take care of it. And then allowing his will and the Holy Spirit guided good deeds to happen as opposed to, you know, what I think is right.
To summarize, what would you say?
Well, I mean, it's a journey. And I think, I haven't arrived, and I don't think anybody arrives on this side of heaven. And so I really think be gentle on yourself, go easy on yourself. Doesn't mean you can't have expectations, but be careful of having too high expectations. You know, forgiveness is another thing, Jack, that I think, you know, people have a hard time with, and I have a hard time with. And, you know, Jesus said it, forgive 70 times seven, in other words, infinitely. And forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. Forgiveness, it'd be like, you know, you get a major cut and you don't treat it, and it starts to fester and starts to, get infected, etc., and you don't do anything about it. That's the same thing with sin. It just happens to be inside, and you need to cleanse yourself of those sins. You need to ask for forgiveness of those sins. And maybe you ask the person, maybe you don't ask the person, but you need to forgive. You need to forgive others for what they've done to you, for sure.
What does success mean to Jack Lintel today?
Yeah, it's different than I think it was. And it's really, success comes in determining what the Lord's will is for me and following it, and being able to discern His will, and being open, having not only my eyes open and my ears open, but my heart, my mind, and my soul open to really be directed, by His loving grace for me and for my life. And, you know, if I can do that, consistently, I don't think, and maybe it's possible, and maybe there's somebody that's doing it out there, but if I can do it consistently, that's success.
As our time winds down tonight, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Yeah, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord, we thank You for this time together and hope that it was helpful and will bear fruit to not only people in Detroit, but outside of Detroit. Bless this community, bless all the people of Detroit and the southeastern Michigan. And I thank You today, Jack and Mark, for helping me through this. And may we do great things with the blessings that we have. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, thank You for Jack Lintel and his ministry. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you, Jack.
Honor to know you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom. Believe.